of this song, Jai Radha Madhava, Guru of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Historically, after Lord Krishna disappeared, the holy places in Vrindavan became somewhat lost due to the influence of time. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan and he rediscovered some of the holy places, and he deputed the six Goswamis to renovate the lost places of Krishna's pastimes. So similarly, Navadvip, after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also became somewhat obscured in the course of time. But then, by the divine will, many great souls, Mahabhagavatas, gathered in Mayapur and established the importance of Mayapur Dham. Jagannath Das Babaji was performing bhajan at Suryakund in Vrindavan. He felt inspired within the heart to go to Mayapur. And he lived to be very old, like more than 120 years. And it is said that the special love, prema that he had within his heart, the special moods, bhavas, he was just waiting for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come so that he could impart those to him. And Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj also was engaged in bhajan in Vrindavan, and he too felt inspired within his heart to come to Navadvip Dham. At that time there was some doubt as to the actual location of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur studied different maps and spoke to local people, and eventually he ascertained what he thought was the actual birthplace. And Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was very old at the time. His disciples would carry him in a basket, so they brought him to the place, and he was so old that his eyelids drooped over his eyes, so he wasn't seeing. But when he got to that place, the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spontaneously he felt ecstasy, and he got out of his basket and began to dance in ecstasy. And Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was also greatly renounced. He would not eat. He would hardly eat. If he was a little hungry, he would take some mud from the banks of the river and put it in, eat it, put a little something in his stomach. From the material point of view, he was not very educated. He could hardly read or write. But because of his deep Krishna consciousness, all the truths of the Vedas were revealed to him. And devotees would read Srimad Bhagavatam to him, and he would comment. And if they had questions, they would ask him, and he would answer, just because of his deep realization of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had many children, 10, and one of them, I think the fourth, was Bimala Prasad, who was later known as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of course, his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was his first guru. But according to the etiquette, and there are good reasons for it, the father does not give diksha to the son. And so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur directed his son, Bimala Prasad, to approach Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But Babaji Maharaj was not interested in disciples. He could see very deeply into people's hearts. He could see what their motives were. And because he was a renowned saintly person, many people would come to him for ashirvad, blessings. But they wanted material blessings. Most people, they approached the deity or the sadhu for blessings, for their material welfare. So he did not like to be disturbed by these materialistic people. So he would try to chant in seclusion. Sometimes he would chant under an upturned boat. Sometimes he would chant near the public latrine, which was like a very bad smell and discouraged people from bothering him. And he was absorbed in Nam Bhajan, chanting the holy names, in a mood of deep separation from Radharani and Krishna. So I will read his pranam mantra. Of course, we will read it when we offer Pushpanjali. Namo Gaura Kishoraya sakshad vairagya murtaye vipralamba rasambode padam bujayate namaha. Namaha means obeisances, Gaurakishoraya, unto Gaurakishordas Babaji. Sakshat, directly. Vairagya, renunciation. Murtaye, unto the personification. It's a personification of renunciation. Vipralamba, of separation from Krishna. Rasa, of the mellow. Ambode, ocean. Pada ambujaya, unto the lotus feet. Che, your namaha, obeisances. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is renunciation personified. He is always merged in feelings of separation and intense love for Krishna. So, separation and renunciation go together. Feeling separation from Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji is in the same line, and he's saying that song of Narottam Das Thakur, his feelings of separation from Lord Gauranga and his Goswamis who were associated with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And in that mood of separation, one naturally is imbued with renunciation. To give one example, some years ago, I went to the island of St. Lucia for about 2 weeks, and one nice family there extended their hospitality to me, and it was a very good time spent chanting and reading about japa, about the holy name, and also some reading about Srila Prabhupada from Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book, What is the Difficulty? And the family was very nice. They were just in the mood of service. They didn't put any demands on me to entertain them. And so after the 2 weeks was over, they drove me to the airport. And it was a route that I had often rode, you know, on the way to different places to walk or whatever. But this time, I was in the mood of separation because I was going to be leaving the place, the family, the facility that I had for chanting and hearing. And usually, driving that scenic route, I would, you know, look at the ocean, the palm trees, the flowers, houses, different things. But that time, in that mood of separation, I had no interest in looking at the sights, and was absorbed in chanting. And that is that's natural. When in the mood of separation, you don't feel like enjoying the things of the world, but you're just absorbed in thoughts of the personalities from whom you feel separated. And going deep in that mood, you chant the holy name, and yes, enter more deeply in spiritual consciousness. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was specifically in the mood of separation from the service of Radha and Krishna, very much like Shiva Raghunath Das Goswami. And he eventually, I mean, it's a story, history, when Bimala Prasad approached him to accept him as, for Gaurakishore Das Babaji to accept him as his disciple, he refused. From one point of view, he didn't want to accept disciples. From another point of view, one might say he was testing Bimala Prasad or purifying him, because Bimala Prasad was extremely brilliant. It said that he had a photographic memory. Whatever he read, he remembered everything. And in school, they had to keep buying books for the library, because he'd read all the books, and he knew everything that was in every book. So he's like a very learned person. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji was almost illiterate, so it seemed like an odd match. And so he refused. Not directly, but in a, you know, a tactful Indian way. He said, I will ask. I don't accept disciples, but if Gauranga Mahaprabhu orders me, then I will accept you. So after some time, Bimala Prasad returned, and he said, "So, did you get the order from Mahaprabhu?" And again, he put him off. He said, "Oh, I forgot to ask. Sorry, I have not received any order." And he would go back, and, you know, each time he would report to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what had happened. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew, you know, that Babaji Maharaj was not accepting him. You know, he was not giving him his mercy in that way. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was thinking, like, what is the use of living, you know, if I can't get the mercy of my guru, the person who I've chosen to accept as my guru? What is the use of even living? So he met Gaurakishore Das Babaji one more time, and Babaji Maharaj, as I mentioned, he could enter into people's hearts and know what was going on inside of them. And so eventually he accepted him Yes, his disciple. Srila Prabhupada said his only disciple. Although His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami, Prabhupada's disciple, has done some research, and it appears that he had maybe had initiated one or two others earlier on, but he wasn't very happy with the result, and so then he decided no more. So in a way, you might say he did have one or two other disciples, but in a way you'd say they weren't real disciples. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur really was his only disciple. And in his humble mood, he said that when he left his body, it should be dragged through the streets of Navadvip, so that his body could be covered by the dust of the devotees and the dust of Navadvip Dham. So when the time came, you know, some of the local mahants, heads of different mutts, institutions, they came and they wanted, each one wanted the body because they wanted to, you know, entomb the body at their place. And then that would be like a big attraction. People would come and they would get more visitors, more donations. And he said he wanted his body dragged through the streets, so they wanted to drag his body through the streets. So word went to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he came rushing to the spot, and he said, "I will take the body." They were all very attached to the idea, and he said he was a renunciate, and I'm a renunciate. I'm his only disciple, so I'm the fit person to take charge of the body. And they were all protesting, making a hullabaloo. So then he said, all right. Whoever has not had sex for the last month raise your hand. So then a number of them just walked away. And who hasn't had it in the last week? More left. Whoever hasn't had in the last 3 days. And people got the idea that they weren't qualified, and they were not going to get the body. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took it. Of course, he didn't drag it through the streets. And he entombed it. Eventually, as his institution, Gaudiya Math or Chaitanya Math, developed, he created Shyamakund and Radhakund and Govardhan Hill. And so he put the tomb of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj there, by the banks of Radhakund, which is very appropriate. coming in that line, and all followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in many places that, of all the processes of bhakti, the main one is the chanting of the holy names without offense. Tara Madhya Sarvashrestha, of all the nine processes, Sarvashrestha, the best, is Nam Sankirtan. And Nirapradhi, one who chants the holy name without offense, very quickly Krishna Premadan gets the treasure of for Krishna. And the first offense, or the offense that allows the other offenses to flourish is the offense of inattention, pramada. So to chant the holy name properly, we have to hear. Of course, we should sit properly and articulate the names properly and hear with attention. That will put us in the stage where our offenses are cleared. And by cleansing and cleansing, watering, cleansing, then eventually we can, become free from offenses and feel more of the that love, the Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is already there within our hearts. It doesn't have to be brought from some other source. And by Shravanadi Sutta Chitta, by associating with devotees and chanting and hearing in the association of devotees, Akare Udai, that natural love is awakened. But it takes time. I remember years ago Bhurijan Prabhu said, Krishna consciousness takes time. It may take time in the sense that it may take time to fully develop, but what he meant is it takes time. You have to invest time in it. If you spend whatever, 20 hours a day in other pursuits for the body and mind and extensions of the body, and you leave 4 hours, actually for a lot of people 4 hours is a lot. 4 hours for Krishna consciousness is 4 hours against 20 hours. But we understand Grihastha Ashram, there's many responsibilities and obligations. But the more time we can spend on Krishna consciousness, the better it is for us and for everyone connected with us. And especially chanting and hearing with attention and reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that will cleanse, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, cleanse the heart and awaken that dormant love for Krishna. And the beginning of that awakening comes with the mood of separation. course, we are also in the coming to the last 5 days of the month of Damodar or Kartik, but I'm sure you've been discussing that throughout the month. But we will, of course, sing the Damodar Astakam later. Hare Krishna. So would anyone like to add anything? Ask anything?
Most people ask for material benedictions. What would be the point of asking for any benediction, whether it's spiritual or material? If Krishna is within your heart, he knows what we need, and you'll give it according to if we deserve it, or is our time is up? So why ask for any sort of benediction?
Yes, Bob Cohen asked the exact same question to Srila Prabhupada. He's now Brahmatirtha Prabhu. That if Krishna's in our hearts, he knows what we're thinking, then why should we pray to him? And Srila Prabhupada replied, because your business is to pray. And in another context, Srila Prabhupada said that the mother wants to feed the baby, but if the baby doesn't cry, then the mother won't feed it. So the idea is we have to cry, we have to ask. And it's our constitutional position. And then Krishna or other superiors will reciprocate. Sometimes, I mean, I don't know if this is a very appropriate example, but sometimes as we hear it said, it could be the other way, but as we usually hear it, the wife or whatever, the girl wants to hear the boy tell her he loves her. So Sri Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj gave a seminar in which he discussed this. So anyway, so the man will think, well, you know I love you. Why do I have to tell you? I mean, I already told you once, 20 years ago. Why do I have to tell you again? Anyway. We should do that, and it's natural. I'm sure you were asking for the sake of others. Is that all right, or any more? Any other questions or comments?
Maharaj, when you said that, this chanting is the most best process of nine process. So when we're chanting, we sometimes tell both japa and sankirtan, both are present chanting. So is there a further elaboration given on this specific statement that chanting is the best process?
Oh, you mean like japa or... There is an idea that japa, I mean, this is in a technical sense, that japa is done within the mind. So there are verses that describe Hari Das Thakur's chanting of japa, verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in which the word Sankirtan is used in relation to his japa, because he was chanting out loud. He's Namacharya, so it is said that he would chant 1 lakh silently. Silently means within the mind, and 1 lakh softly and 1 lakh loudly. But in Srila Prabhupada's instructions about japa, especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he emphasizes chanting loudly enough that one can hear it and others can also hear it. And in another, one disciple asked that question roundabout when I joined in Boston, and Prabhupada replied that both are the same, but Sankirtan is better because other people hear it. But our duty as disciples when we take initiation is to chant, you know, minimum 16 rounds every day, and that's like our main sadhana, or our main duty, our main practice. But yeah, I mean, Jiva Goswami says that this Nam Sankirtan has special potency to evoke spiritual sentiments. So the more we can do of both, the better. But we must do our minimum number of rounds. But more rounds, better. More kirtan, better. So now we will do Pushpanjali. Pushpanjali means that we offer flowers, Pushpa. Anjali, offer flowers to Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada said that on appearance days and disappearance days, this is the most important element of the ceremony. And so we have flower petals. Properly speaking, we offer three times, but each time we offer three times. So really you need to divide your petals into 9 portions, but we'll just see how far they go. But and then we will offer arti to Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji